You're listening to audio from Grace Church, Miami. May you be challenged and encouraged by this message, having the affections of your heart stirred towards greater love and understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.
So I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I'm so thankful that the elders have decided to invite me. And again, our church has been praying for you. We love Grace Miami. We're thankful that you're here, not only because it's going to be a blessing to you, and it is a blessing to you if you're part of this local church. If you're visiting us or visiting them, I'm glad you're here. It is a blessing to our church in Sunrise, Grace Upon Grace, really, to have you guys here. It means a lot to us, and we learn a lot from you guys. So when I got the invite, I was like, of course, I have so much to be thankful for this church. I remember like 3 years ago or so, I was in need of counsel. I was a church planter. I'm still a church planter. Our church is 5 years, but 3 years ago, I needed help. And I'm like, I have no idea if what I'm doing is right. I need counsel. I need wisdom. And I call Pastor Eric and I say, can I sit down with you? Because I have a few questions to ask you. And he said, yeah, come over to my house. And we sit down for like 2 hours or so. And it was such an amazing help just to receive help from him. So really thankful to have you guys here in South Florida. But as you guys know, you're studying the attributes of God. And I love that you're studying that. I mean, the attributes of God, it's amazing. We're learning about God, and I'm thankful that you're learning that. And then one of the things that I want to be very honest with you up front, I don't have like secret agendas or agendas like behind me. I really want to be clear with you. And I love that you're studying the attributes of God. But one of the things that I want to encourage you, because it happened to me, is that the outcome of studying the attributes of God is not just mere knowledge about Him. It's not just getting to explain the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God, the holiness of God, and all of that. That's not just for the sake of answering questions about, yes, I know that. But also, really, the outcome should be that all of us, as we study the attributes of God, we will really come to be amazed about the God we serve. Really, like, really meditate, how is it possible that me, I get to serve this awesome, gracious God. Not only that I get to serve Him, but also, how is it possible that I have the awesome Lord for me, that I get to call my Father? How is that even possible that I get to call Him Father? Not only that, but how is it possible that I get to call the Redeemer, my Savior, my Lord, the one that gave Himself up for me because He loved me? How is that even possible? But also, how is even that possible that you have the Spirit of the living and holy God within you? In you. Yeah, we come to a place like this and you might say, oh, that's where the presence of God is. And yet, God promised that when the church gathers, yeah, God's presence is there. But do you know that tomorrow morning, you have God's presence within you? The Holy Spirit? Do you know that when you're facing temptations, trials, desperation, you are in the midst of anxiety or depression, or you're fighting your marriage, or you're getting to a lot of problems, you know that the Holy God in the Holy Spirit that lives within you actually is there to help you? So all that to say that I'm glad you're studying the attributes of God, but the outcome of all of this should not be, oh, I know the attributes of God, because it happened to me. And with that, what I want to study this morning with you, it's something that it can also be something that we can know theologically here in our head, but we're not really living it. We're not really enjoying it. And you know what? That is the fear of God. I mean, it happened to me that I knew about the attributes of God. I knew about the fear of the Lord, but that's something more in my head, something more of a knowledge. I went to school for that. But really, a couple of years ago, the Lord showed me that I needed not only to know the right answer about Him, but I needed really to live in Him, enjoy Him, and for Him when no one was around me. I needed to trust Him when my greatest fear was the people, not God. I needed to love Him when actually my greatest passion was being a people pleaser. So all that to say is that my prayer is that today, we may respond to this wonderful God with a greater desire that leads us to a holy fear and love for the holy God. And that's very important. It's very important for us to know from the beginning how we start something. It's very important for all of us, and I think we all understand that. It's very important to know how you're going to start something from the very beginning. For example, if you're practicing sports, you better know how to start. I mean, usually in soccer right now that we have the Euro League and Copa America here. I don't know if you're a soccer fan here, but I am. And so you know that a good start actually is very important for you. We know that from business. If you're a businessman, you know that you have to make your research before you open a business. Like, you know, you have to know your partner. You have to know if you're going to invest in that place. It's very important to know how you're going to start something. It's very important to know how to start a relationship. So if you're drinking coffee with a guy and the guy is acting weird, walk out. Don't think, oh, he's going to change that. No, he's not going to change that. So it's very important that you know how to start from the very beginning. You should know that from a relationship. You should know that if you're going to go and study something, you should know the college. Yeah, I'm not talking about the college that costs more money, but at least you should study the faculty. You study the field that you want to study. Is that a good school for that? You should know from the very beginning if that school is going to be the great place for you. Same thing for those of you who work out. Obviously, not me. But for those of you who work out, you should know how to work out from the very beginning. Why? Because you're going to injure yourself. I mean, I remember being in high school. You know, high schoolers, we want to like look like we're big and great. I was a high schooler, and I went to the gym. And one day, I was trying to lift and show up to, you know, like, I can do this. And I hurt myself. I injured myself. And since then, I have back problems and other issues that I have in my back. But you should know how to start something from the very beginning because it is very important. Let me give an example of how also this is very important while you're driving. I mean, we were living in Minneapolis with my wife, and we quickly have to learn that there are one-way streets in Minneapolis. Like, for example, we had in Minneapolis Chicago Avenue, Portland Avenue, Park Avenue, Oakland Avenue, and it is not like here where generally you have these two-way streets. So all that to say that in the case of biblical wisdom, it is extremely important, vital, and fundamental for you and for me to know that there is a beginning. We should know that if we're going to pursue to become a wise person, there is a beginning for that. And that beginning is the fear of the Lord. So having said that, I'm going to be preaching from one verse, but not only from this occasion, I usually state in that text and that's it, but I'm going to try to walk you through the Old Testament and the New Testament really quick and try to demonstrate to you that the fear of the Lord, instead of being something that you run away from, it's something that you enjoy. Instead of the fear of the Lord being something that you're like, you know what? I don't like that idea of fearing God because I am up to not fearing anything. Well, I'm going to try to show you that from Scripture, for a Christian, the fear of the Lord is extremely important for you. And again, I want to help you. Because instead of closing your ears to this idea of fearing the Lord, again, I want to help you because for me, and I know it's going to be for most of you, for me, the last 3 years or so, really meditating, going deep into studying how the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord has helped me tremendously. Has changed me. You could say, well, but isn't that the same thing as understanding the love of God? Yeah. Isn't that the same as understanding that God is gracious and merciful and all compassion God? Yes. But for me, and I believe for the Bible, once you study and you know how to fear the Lord, your life will be changed. Because I believe that God is intentional in giving us his fear for our good, for our joy, for our desire to pursue him, to love him. So instead of closing your ears, oh, I don't like the topic of fearing the Lord, I want to invite you. Hopefully this morning, you will come and know this living, awesome God. And instead of thinking the fear of God as something I should walk away from, it will be something that you should embrace and love because there's nothing like understanding what the fear of the Lord is. So Solomon wrote Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Many have called these texts of Proverbs 1 and 7 the foundation of the whole book. The foundation of the whole book of Proverbs. If you miss that verse, you will miss the entire point of what the author will try to show in Proverbs. For you to understand what wisdom is, how you walk in light of God, how you walk in obedience to God, how you love God, you have to understand verse 7 of chapter 1. It is key for all of us. So I want to try to argue that the fear of the Lord is the main door. It is the one-way street. And I will try to show that from two points. The first one is going to be the beginning of wisdom, which we already know is the fear of the Lord. But the second is going to be the appreciation of wisdom, which is going to be the appreciation of the fear of the Lord. What I try to say here is that I don't want you just to say, I know what is to fear the Lord, or I know what is to be wise. But I want you, by God's grace, to treasure it, to be passionate about it, to really pursue it. That's why the appreciation of wisdom is going to try to help us that it is good for the Christian to fear the Lord. It is really good. So let's start with the first one, which is the beginning of wisdom. So what is the beginning of wisdom? Well, Solomon answered right away. It's the fear of the Lord. I mean, there is no other way to wisdom. If you're trying to become wise, biblically speaking, it's not about just reading more books, which is really good that you should read books. Like, for example, the one that you're going to be reading from Andy Naselli. He was one of my professors. And the Conscience book, it's an amazing book. Read that book. It's really good to read books. But biblically speaking, knowing that there is one way to become wise, and that is to learn how to fear the Lord. There's just one way to that. To grow in wisdom is to grow in the fear of the Lord. You cannot separate them. You cannot divorce them. Marriage them. They're together. The fear of the Lord is wisdom before the Lord. And other, you can say, fear the Lord is loving the Lord. That's what I want to try to argue. You don't separate, oh no, I love the Lord, I don't fear the Lord. And I will say, no, as you will see in the Bible, you love the Lord, therefore you fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, therefore you love the Lord. That's what I try to argue, because it's just one way to learn how to treasure the fear of the Lord. That means you become more wise like the Lord. So as I have said a few minutes ago, when we live in Minneapolis, it happened to me several times that being new in Minneapolis, to downtown Minneapolis where we live and spend 4 years of our life there, where our daughter was born, we were there and then driving sometimes, I realized there was something weird. People are coming our way. I see all the cars parked this way, and I'm going that way. I learned quickly that there are some roads that are just one-way directions in Minneapolis. So I realized that I was going in the wrong direction. But you know what? Realizing that I was going in the wrong direction, it saved my life. Well, how about in our Christian walk? Examining our souls and our hearts has to be with us examining in what ways I'm walking against the will of the Lord. How is it that I'm walking against His street? How is it that I'm going against His will? How is it that I'm going against His wisdom? I need to realize if I'm walking in the opposite direction of biblical wisdom, which is if I'm not fearing the Lord. Again, very honest with you. If you have asked me a couple of years ago, do you know what the fear of the Lord is? I will, of course, answer you. Say, oh, yeah, I know what the fear of the Lord is. But if you will ask me more precise and ask me, Michael, knowing your heart, are there any way with your actions, with your thoughts, that you're not fearing the Lord? And I would say, oh, I don't know, probably. I mean, I'm talking about those current sins. Or those sins that you do once in a while and you minimize and you think, well, that's not really a big issue. Everyone does that. At least I'm not doing that. And we compare ourselves and our sin with what other people are doing. But in reality, I was not comparing myself with the Lord. In other words, I was just so worried about my reputation, what other people thought about me, and if I'm going to be a nice guy, instead of thinking, I want to grow in my character. I want to be like Christ. So the only audience that I really care is my Lord, my Savior. So understanding that really saved me from ending up doing things that really displeases the Lord. So in Proverbs, it's very important, that word, in the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. You know that word is so important for the book of Proverbs? That only shows up 5 times in the book of Proverbs, but it's key to understand the book of Proverbs. 5 times it's translated sometimes as the first fruits, the principal thing, and the start. From this is that many theologians have defined this word, the beginning, as the first, whether it be in place, in time, in order, or in rank. So that's why we talk about the beginning of wisdom. That means it refers to the first, like the beginning of a journey, the starting point of a race. It also refers to a life that is characterized, and that characterizes a person who is not going in the opposite direction of God's principle. One of the theologians that I was referring to as I was preparing for this sermon was the theologian Walke, and he is the one that has written 2 commentaries of Proverbs, like this thing, those 2 Proverbs commentaries. And this is what he says about this beginning in the fear of the Lord. He says, what the alphabet is to reading, notes to reading music, and the numbers to mathematics, the fear of the Lord is to attaining the real knowledge of this book. So what he's saying is that without numbers, you cannot do mathematics. Without the alphabet, you cannot read. Without notes, you cannot read music. So without the fear of the Lord, you can't be wise. There is no other way to achieve wisdom than the way of the fear of the Lord. So, again, what is the fear of the Lord? I mean, I guess if I ask you a question like this, what is the fear of the Lord, in a room like this, I bet we have multiple definitions of what the fear of the Lord is. If I was going to ask you right now, give me a definition of the fear of the Lord, I bet we all have different definitions. And to be honest with you, I might say that there are a few of you who might even say, Pastor or Michael, I disagree with you. I don't have a definition of the fear of the Lord. Why? Because I think we should not fear the Lord. One of the definitions might be, I don't think, that's something that I have not been taught. Something that in my previous church, I didn't hear. Actually, what I have been listening to a lot of time is that you should run away from every type of fear, including this idea of fearing God. No, that's not what we want. We want a loving God. We just want someone who is merciful. We just want someone that is so good. And he is good, he's merciful, and he's awesome, but also he's holy. And therefore, the idea of fearing the Lord, it should be an idea that we should embrace. And I'm going to try to show it for your good, that it is really good for our souls to have a definition of fearing the Lord. So first, we have to clean the ground. By that, I mean that before we plant the wisdom and the seed of fear of the Lord, we need to remove things that are in our life, that are definitions that are not clear or that are not biblical. One of the books that I read last year, there was an awesome book I recommended to you by Michael Reeves. It's called Rejoicing and Trembling. And that is the idea of fearing the Lord. Michael Reeves wrote an excellent book on this. And this is what he says about fear of the Lord. Sinful fear drives you away from God. You heard that? Sinful fear drives you away from God. This is the fear of the unbeliever who hates God, who remains a rebel at heart, who fears being exposed as a sinner and therefore flees from God. So again, this is the non-biblical view of fearing the Lord. This is the typical fear that people have when he understands and hears fearing the Lord. It's not, I don't like that. I just want to run away from it. Because sometimes, again, we're afraid of being honest with our sin before this holy, awesome God. Again, but this is not the biblical way for the believer. Because we sang this morning something amazing about the blood of Christ, about his atoning work. We know he's our redeemer. So for us, fearing the Lord is not something that we're scared of being exposed, because you know what? Christ was exposed for us. It's not a fear of running away from him because, as Hebrews says, we have open space, the open door of the throne of a living God and a holy God to come and approach him with confidence. Why? Because we have the high priest. So again, it's not this biblical fear of the believer who has been forgiven and is saved in the arms of the Father. So throughout the Bible, we find that the correct response to the Lord's love, compassion, and holiness, you know what is? The fear of the Lord. A couple of minutes ago, we were hearing thundering, right? I love that, especially right now. You might say, why? Why do you like that thundering, especially right now? Well, because we're going to be reading a couple of passages, specifically one of those, who shows and expresses this idea of what it means when God displays himself. But his idea of displaying himself as holy, awesome God is not that we will run away from him if we come in terms with him. It is that we appreciate that he's God and we're not. It is to really love and want to walk according to how he says that we should be walking. So it should be something that invited us to come closer to him in his terms. So I'm going to be reading a couple of texts because the fear of the Lord really brings us closer to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to show you. The fear of the Lord invites us to the Lord. The fear of the Lord keeps us in the Lord. God is rejoiced. He rejoices. He's glad when we understand that he has given us fear for him. Every single creature, whether Christians or not, they fear. The question is not if you're fearing the Lord. The question is, what are you fearing of? Sometimes we are afraid of what happened to our body. If we go to a doctor, I'm scared. I'm scared what the doctor is going to be saying. If they find out that I have an illness, or I'm scared or afraid that something happens to my beloved family. I'm scared something happens with my business. I'm afraid of what happens in this election. I'm afraid of whatever can happen in a car accident. I'm afraid, and we are by nature people who fear. However, we fear the wrong things and the wrong people, when we should be fearing the Lord. Fearing in terms of coming to him, not running away from him. So, for example, I'm going to be reading a couple of passages. I don't going to be explaining them because we don't have the time, but I'm going to be reading them. So you have an understanding of what the wisdom of the Lord is in light of the fear of the Lord. So, for example, Exodus 20, this is the Lord giving the commandments to the redeemed people. He had displayed his greatness. He has shown Pharaoh, I am who I am, Yahweh. I will be who I will be. You don't play with me. You don't play to be God. You don't bring musicians like they do something that I cannot do. So don't play with me. I'm going to redeem my people. I'm going to display myself. I am who I am, Yahweh. That's who I am. And so he's displaying his character, the commandments as well. But this is what he says in chapter 20. Verses 18 to 20, this is what it says. Now, when all the people saw the thunder, just like a few minutes ago, and the flashes of lightning, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, this is the normal response. I guess this is what we ought to do in that situation. People were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. But listen to what Moses said, which is amazing. Moses said to the people, do not fear. So wait a second. You're telling me, Michael, that we should fear the Lord. And Moses is saying, do not fear, but keep reading. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you. Do not be afraid of the wrong things. Do not be afraid about the smoking mountain, the thundering. No, don't be afraid of that as running away from God. Know that you are before the living God, so fear him in the right way. Honor him. Listen to him. This is what he keeps saying. That he comes to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. That's amazing. One of the things that we're going to try to see as we continue this sermon is that learning to fear the Lord will help you not to sin against him. If you have issues with sinning, which all of us do,
But if you see yourself in areas of your life which people keep telling you, or you don't tell anyone and you're hiding because you don't know how to say those things, if we are just having issues with our sin, ask yourself a question. I'm fearing the Lord rightly in this area of my life? Because the Bible says that fearing the Lord is so that we don't sin against Him. If I'm sinning against Him, it's because I'm not having the biblical fear of Him in this area of my life. So if I learn how to fear the Lord, trust me, those areas of life that are, you know, that are killing you, that are destroying you, that are destroying your marriage, that are destroying your friends, that are destroying, again, you, but ultimately who is offending the Lord, come before Him and say, God, you know who I am. Come before someone else, your pastors and brothers and sisters in Christ, say, listen, I know that I'm not fearing the Lord in this area because I keep sinning in this area. So help me learn how to treasure and love God. By that I mean, help me to understand how to fear the Lord in this area. So that was Exodus. Now, let me read to you Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, which are one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. This is Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, and this is what it says here. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? Meaning, God, if you keep track of all of our sins, and if you remain as who you are, just in opposition to us, because you're this holy wrath, you're this just God, and if you keep saying you're not meeting the standards, there's not provision for you whatsoever of forgiveness of sin. If you keep track of all of that and you don't forgive, then what's going to happen to us? We cannot stand before you. But look at verse 4. But this conjunction is a beautiful conjunction because contrast something. But with you, there is forgiveness. Why? Why is it that there's forgiveness for you and for me? That you may be feared. That's amazing. That's crazy. Like the Lord is giving you forgiveness. You might say, you might answer, well, because He wanted me to love Him more. Yeah, that's true. Well, because I have to give good testimony. That's true, of course. Well, because that's what I'm to do. I'm called to be a good, obedient son and daughter of the Lord. Yes, that's true. But God has forgiven you so that He might be feared. That's crazy, but that's beautiful. That means that God is giving you forgiveness so that you learn how to obey and fear the Lord. He's giving you that and saying, yes, I forgive you. In Christ, you're purchased. You're mine for now and forever. You're mine. So therefore, and not and sin no more. Fear me. Love me. I have given you everything so that you can be forgiven. I don't count your sin. I count you as righteous because I'm my righteous son. So come and fear me. No, go away from me, but come. I forgive you, so come. It's like the same thing when we try to discipline our kids. One of the things that it says in parenting books is that if you discipline your kid and the kid is running away from you, you're not doing the right job. Because ultimately, after you discipline, after you talk, after you pray, and it's a whole process, what you want is that your son or daughter come to you and they welcome your hug. They welcome you. Instead of discipline running away from you, good discipline should be that the outcome of teaching them, giving the consequences, or disciplining them, it will be that they see that you love them. Well, God says, I forgive you, but not to run away, keep doing what you're doing, so that you fear me. This is what it says. Now, there is a Bible verse that I didn't send to Pastor Chris, but it is so important for us. It's so important for us because it is the foundation of the new covenant. I do believe that, of course, as you probably believe, we, the church, are in the new covenant. We're no longer in the old covenant. The old covenant has gone. That's why, to be honest with you, that's why grace upon grace means. In John, that's what Jesus says. In John says, now in Him there is grace upon grace. Grace, meaning there were grace before in the old covenant, yes, but now in Christ there is grace upon grace. And so the idea of the new covenant is not only that we have, yes, access to God, which is true, He has forgiven all of our sins. We don't need anyone to teach us in the sense of like, we need to go just to one single person. No, we can come before the Lord because we have the Spirit of God living within us, but also foundation to the new covenant is the fear of the Lord. Let me read this to you in Jeremiah 32, verses 39 to 40. Before that, 38 says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 39 of Jeremiah 32, I will give them one heart and one way. Listen to this. That they may fear me for 5 minutes. No. That they may fear me when they think they're good people. No. That they may fear me on Sundays. That they may fear me when other people are looking at them. No. That they may fear me forever. But listen to this. Why? Why will he give us a new heart to fear him? Why? This is the grounding. This is the foundation for their own good. God is giving you his fear for your own good. So if you have in your head an idea of fearing the Lord as something bad, that's an idea that comes from Satan. Because God says that I'm going to give you my fear for your own good. It's for your good. So it's like telling your kids, eat vegetables. And they don't like vegetables. And you say, that's for your good. Or it's to trying to give medicine to your kids. And they're like, I don't want that. I don't want that. It's for your own good. Please drink it. I don't want that. I don't want that. Well, the same thing God says, I'm going to give you my fear. Oh, I don't like that. Yes, it's for your own good. Receive it. Welcome it. Take it. And live with it. Now it says, and the good of their children after them. Verse 40. I will make with them an everlasting covenant, new covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them. This is what the Lord says. My everlasting covenant for my church, for my people, is that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And keep reading. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. I don't want you to see it as this, but I remember our kids, we used to put them in a gate. Yeah, not our dogs, our kids. Not in a gate like you would put a dog in it, but a gate that they will not go under, or we'll put that door gate on the stairs. So, of course, you don't want it to fall under the stairs. Well, God is saying, I'm going to guard you. Not because somehow it's something bad for you. I'm going to help you by putting a guard so that you will not run away from me. So ultimately, the perseverance of the saints is God's idea, and God's idea is by giving you the fear of the Lord in your heart so that you will not run away from him. I think it was Pastor John MacArthur that said that if it was up to us, we'll stop being Christians today. And that is true. It is the Lord who says, I will give you my fear. So ultimately, you will say, I cannot abandon the Lord because I will never be abandoned by him. I cannot run away from him because he will never will run away from doing good to me. So again, putting all those three chapters or those three books in the Bible, in the Old Testament, knowing the Lord, receiving his grace, and enjoying the new covenant, lead us, or should lead us, to a proper fear and sincere love for the Lord. So Spurgeon says this about Psalm 130, verse 4. The fear of God in Scripture does not mean horror. That's what probably some of us believe. Like, fear, horror, meaning run away. No. It means true religion, holy reverence and awe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And unless there is forgiveness of sins, says Spurgeon, it is clear that the absence leads sinners to despair and prevents them from worshiping God. So it should not surprise us that for the book of Proverbs, the beginning or the starting point of biblical wisdom is the biblical understanding of fear of the Lord. If you do a study of the fear of the Lord in just the book of Proverbs, you will find the idea of fearing the Lord in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, 19, 22, 23. I'm not joking. I don't have the time. But if you do a study of the fear of the Lord in just the book of Proverbs, you will find that it's everywhere. That's what I'm trying to do with you. That today or tomorrow, when you open up the scripture, you start seeing the fear of the Lord everywhere, because I do believe there is everywhere the fear of the Lord. Not only that, but the book of Proverbs also used the fear of the Lord in different ways. There's another way of saying, be full of the fear of the Lord. Be full of the fear of the Lord. Just like the same word the angel used by telling Abraham, do not stretch out your hand against the boy, nor do anything to him. Why? For now I know that you fear God. The same word that is used in Genesis is the same word that also Proverbs used as saying, be full of the fear of God. Stop. Don't do anything to Isaac. Why? Because you're full of the fear of the Lord. So what led Abraham to obedience and sacrificing what he loved the most, which was his son, because he loved the Lord more, it was because he was full of the fear of God. He was not empty of the fear of God. Because if he was empty of the fear of God, he will say, you know, I'm sorry, God. This is my only God, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you my son. But instead of that, because he loved the Lord and he was full of the fear of the Lord, he said, here, take it, because I do believe you. I'm going to honor you by obeying you. So putting all this together, we can say that the fear of the Lord is the main door to what? Just as those two doors is the main doors to come in here, well, the fear of the Lord is the main door that leads us to enjoy his loving wisdom that instructs us in our thinking and walking to be wise servants of the Lord. It's the open door. Don't close it. It is open for you. Walk in it so that you will see your life grow and be changed by the Lord. So with that, now I move to the second one. And this is going to be shorter. I usually preach 15 minutes. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to try to quickly. The appreciation of wisdom. This is why verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 1 now compares and says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. We could say fools despise the fear of the Lord. By not wanting and by despising the fear of the Lord, they're despising wisdom and instruction. So fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? Because they don't fear the Lord. They don't care about the Lord. They wanted their own way according to their own knowledge and despise the Lord. But in opposite to that, the believer who grows in wisdom is the believer who appreciates wisdom. They despise wisdom. Christian ought to appreciate wisdom. Love, desire, pursue it, treasure it. You know that it's good for your soul. Therefore, you want your put your head into it. You want your whole life pursuing that understanding of who the Lord is. And ultimately, like I have said before, pursuing biblical wisdom is not just mere knowledge. I'm scared of that, to be honest with you. I mean, again, if you have asked me if you fear the Lord before, I say yes, of course. I mean, I have the definition for that. I went to school to study the Word of God. And yes, I know the answer. But ultimately, we should be running away just for the mere idea of knowledge here, if that doesn't go here in my heart. I mean, we should pursue knowledge in regards to the Lord. But ultimately, what we should be pursuing is Christ himself. That's why Paul says in Colossians 2, that for time I'm not going to be read it. But Colossians 2, verses 2 to 3 says that he wants to go and visit the church there. But he wants them to know and be certain and secure of the knowledge. But he says that the knowledge and wisdoms that are hidden in Christ. So ultimately speaking, fearing the Lord for wisdom is loving Christ more. Not just getting wisdom for the sake of knowledge and information and intellect, but knowing Christ, treasuring him, loving him. So yes, read the Bible, read good books, but always answer the question, I'm reading for the sake of knowledge, and that's it? Or I'm reading for the sake of knowledge of Christ so that I can come and love Christ more. I want to be the one coming to the Lord. Wisdom announced it and saw it in Proverbs, it's an announcement that points to the perfect one, and that is the wise Christ. So wisdom is the personification, is not a personification of a woman, wisdom. But ultimately speaking, wisdom in Proverbs is pointing to the person who personifies perfectly wisdom, and that is Christ. Ultimately, the book of Proverbs should point you to Christ, because like Paul says in Colossians 2, he is the wise God. He is the one that created everything so that in everything he should have the supremacy, but in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. It's so much so that Christ is the wise God and the only God that also the prophet Isaiah talks about Christ not only as the wise God, but talks about Christ as the one that fears the Lord. So if you probably argue, well, Michael, I don't know if I should believe that I should fear the Lord. Well, do you believe that you should follow Christ's example in everything? Of course. Yeah, I do believe that. Do you feel like, and you know that you have to obey the Lord and become more like Christ? Yeah, I do believe that. Well, let me read this to you so that you know what Isaiah said about Jesus. This is Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3, talking about the Messiah King, Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Okay, we know that for the account of the Gospels and Luke specifically. Okay, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Okay, I know that. The Spirit of counsel and might. Yes, I know that. But look at this, the Spirit of knowledge, and look how it connects what Solomon says, wisdom, knowledge, wisdom with fear. Now, this is what Isaiah says, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And look to this and read to this in verse 3 of Isaiah 11. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That Christ is described as the one that delights, enjoys. He wants to fear the Lord. So if Jesus is described as the one that delights in the fear of the Lord, isn't that the same true of his church? Or at least should be something that we should be pursuing more? If anything, I can just pick your brain and say, please, I want to just grab your attention and try to argue with me and during the week. Go study the Bible and see if actually it is there in the Bible. Do you understand what it says there and enjoy it? So it is to be expected that if the wise King Jesus appreciates the fear of the Lord, his church will do the same. Because in this way, we will grow in loving obedience to the Father as he, Jesus, being fully man and fully God, then in his manhood, in becoming man, he grew in obedience. So we ought to be doing sin. But I do believe that probably some of you will say, well, you know what, Michael? I think that I don't fear the Lord because there is a passage in the Bible, in the New Testament, by the way, you will say, that says that I should not fear because love casts out all fear. Let us just go there because I don't want that verse, if you're probably thinking about that, probably in the setting of a sermon, you cannot raise your hand and say, wait, what about 1 John chapter 4? Let's go there. Can you please go with me in John chapter 4? And I want you to understand that passage because I believe that a lot of people might say, well, I do believe that was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, no, we cannot fear the Lord. Why? Because the New Testament said this in 1 John chapter 4. And you might argue with that. Chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. I'll just give you really quick, read it really quick. It says this. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. That's the verse that precedes the famous verse in verse 18. There is not fear in love. You say, that's it, Michael. There is not fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears had not been perfected in love. However, I read verse 17 with the purpose of understanding that what John is saying is that the believers should not be afraid of the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. That's not what I'm saying here in the whole sermon. What John is arguing is what I will argue. Yes, of course, the believer is not afraid of the last day. He's not scared. Oh, what about if I'm not a Christian? What about if the Lord comes and he's like, ultimately, you're not my son. How do I know? I don't know. And you'll be so scared of the ultimate day, the final day, the day of judgment, that you are so afraid. But John has talked in the whole letter that actually those who believe and who are honest with their sins and confess their sin, we have an advocate, we have Jesus Christ as our Lamb, the Lamb of the Redeemer, and who is the propitiation of our sin. So John is saying, not that you should not have fear of the Lord, but that you should not fear in the day of the Lord as if you're not a Christian. Why? Because we have the Son. He punished his only Son. He is our substitute, the perfect Lamb who took away all the wrath of God, because he took upon himself the wrath of God. So what it says there, not that we should remove the fear of the Lord, but because we know who we are in light of Christ, because we have an advocate, we have this Lamb that was given for us in our behalf, we have confidence on the last day that we can be with the Lord forever, not in our own merits, in our own good works, but because we look at Christ and say, that's my Savior. That's my Lord. So we are not afraid of the last day, but that doesn't mean that we should not fear the Lord. If I'm fearing the Lord rightly today, I know I belong to Him. I am loved by Him. So with that, it's very important. But also, and I will finish with this, there is another verse in the New Testament that you probably be thinking and say, well, but I know another verse. It's Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 is very important for us as a Christian, yeah? Let me read this to you, because it is beautiful, and with this I end. Look what says Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's talking to Christians. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So what Paul is saying is something amazing. And how I started. Can you believe the holy living God lives within you? The God that you're studying in the eyes of God, you can say that by the Spirit, as a member of the new covenant, the Spirit not only is with us, but it is in us, according to John 14. The whole idea of the living God living within us, Paul says, therefore, because the living God lives within you, work out your salvation. Not because you're so afraid that you're going to lose your salvation, but because the reality of the Holy God living within me, I should walk with fear and trembling. Why? Because I cannot believe that if before the high priest only can enter once a year in the Holy of Holies with a robe, because if he died, they have to take him with the robe. If the living God is living in me, I should fear him and act and work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because for it is God who works in you. For both to your will, to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, dear Grace Miami, we have a calling by the Lord, and that is to fear the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as Christians, we are not to act, talk, walk like fools, despising wisdom and instruction and the fear of the Lord. So I will ask you that you will come and join me in a walk that I started a few years ago. And really thinking before I act, pray before I say something, and really be admired that the living God lives within me, and therefore I should fear him. But walk with me in our journey that will take all of our lives, in not fearing him for the wrong motivations or the wrong ideas, but living for him, because ultimately speaking, today can be my last day. And one thing that I keep saying to my wife and my children is that today might be my last day. And when I want to go to my bed every single night and I want to answer the question, did I fear the Lord? Did I love him? Did I obey him? Oh, thank you, Father. And if I did things like we're all sinners, I'm not perfect. If I was not nice to my wife or to my kids, or I was impatient, I'd say fast, Lord, forgive me, please. And help me to fear you. Because by fearing you, oh, I will enjoy you more. But my kids, my wife, and those who are around me will be more like Christ, because they will be benefit from also me fearing the Lord.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Church Miami. May God draw you nearer to Him through His Word. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.